أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد الفاتح لما أغلق والخاتم لما سبق، ناصر الحق بالحق والهادي إلى صراطك المستقيم، وعلى آله حق قدره يوم الدين العظيم. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, I greet you with best of greeting, the greeting of Islam, the greeting of people of Jannah in Jannah. Wahi assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today is the 8th of Sha'aban 1441 after Hijrah, which is equivalent to 2nd April 2020. Today we'll take our first lesson on Fiqh al-Sharia. Fiqh al-Sharia, and we are going to use the book Mukhtasar al-Akhdari fi al-Ibadati and Fiqh al-Maliki, the book of Akhdari, which is popularly known by all. Today we'll dwell on the introduction of this part of knowledge, which is Fiqh, and our talk will concentrate on the introduction. We'll talk about the book, about the author, then say one or two things about fiqh, what is its stand in Islam, and what are the benefits of studying fiqh and its importance. Then we'll go into the book and start reading and explaining from the book. We ask Allah to guide us through and to make us understand what we are going to forward, inshallah. This book, as we all know, called Mukhtasar al-Akhdari, is in the part of Imam Malik, as in, because we have Aimat al-Arba'ah, the four sound scholars in the deen, which they have, each has its own mazhaba. So we have Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, and Imam Shafi'. So Imam Malik is considered as one of the greatest ulama, greatest scholar in hadith, and also in ulumuddin. So he has his own understanding. These are scholars which explain difficult things in Islam, and ulama and other scholars submit to their saying because of their deep understanding. They say yes, whatever so person say is in right way. So this particular book, and most of, even in the world, majority of people are following, most especially in this part of country in Africa, we follow the Mazhab Imam Malik because of his strictness in translating the tradition of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is what we call Saddu Zari'ah. So he is highly concerned about the Saddu Zari'ah. Saddu Zari'ah is that if they say no one should cross this particular line, so Imam Malik, instead of to just tell you nobody should cross that line, he said nobody to should come near that line, because coming, probably you can easily go beyond the line if you are close to him. But if you did not even come, so another criteria that he based his own mazhaba in. We are not talking about that today. We are talking about the fiqh. So about the book, this Mukhtasar al-Akhdari was written by a sheikh, a الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن محمد الصغير بن محمد الأخضري. He was born in a town called Bankayus. The town is very close to Baskara in the present Algeria in 920 after Hijra. He is a great scholar who studied from his father, Muhammad al-Sawid, Sheikh Muhammad al-Sawid, who is very sound in different aspects of knowledge. He studied from him, he studied fiqh, he studied mantiq, he studied lugha, and he studied usul. He mastered most of this aspect of ilm. He then studied from his brother Ahmad bin Muhammad. He studied ulum al-aql al-aqliya, the study of the senses, which include psychological studies and philosophy. After that, he concentrates on search of ilm al-tasawuf. Ilm al-tasawuf, in ilm al-tasawuf, he hold upon al-Sheikh Muhammad, al-Sheikh Abu Abdullah Muhammad bin Ali al-Jarrubi. Is his Sheikh, and he accepted from him Tariqatu Shazaliya al-Zarru'iyya. Tariqatu Shazaliya, which is traced back to Imam Abu Hassan al-Shazali. Imam Abu Hassan al-Shazali. And also Tariqa al-Zarruqiyya from al-Sheikh Ahmad al-Zarruq. Usually, most of these other tariqas, there is no harm in joining two of them. Usually, it's only the tariqa of Sheikh Tijani that has that unique or that specificity that you cannot join it with other tariqa. So, but others, that was why some even among the Sufis, they are crystallizing tariqa Tijani on this, which is is very strong. That's what makes Tariqat Tijaniya unique, because it has everything complete. You don't have to go out of it or to go to other tariqa in order to get it, because we are not talking about that. Let's not deviate or digress from the main topic. This has been the conduct, the tradition, the tradition of ulama then, if not for now, that knowledge has a little bit depreciating. Then usually for you to start as a beginner, to start seeking for knowledge, you are exposed to ilm al-fiqh as the first. And this ilm al-fiqh comprises also or include, then they didn't used to separate it from hadith and Quran. You take them together. When you master this part, then you start going into ilm al-usul, ilm al-lugha, ilm al-balagha. If you understand that very well, then you go into ilm al-aqaliya, the study of senses, which include philosophy, include psychology and other things. This help, this knowledge are linked together, and one help the other. Like ilm al-fiqh help you to know how to worship Allah, to do things the way they are supposed to be done, and other things. While ilm al-usul and ilm al-mantiq and all those help you in translating and having deep insight in understanding the translation and the meaning of Sharia, while ilm al-aqaliya helps you to guide you from misunderstanding facts about the deen, because and also it gives shield to the deen because of non-Muslim that are also Arabic, that knows Arabic language, that can come into and misinterpret Arabic listing or bring some philosophy in it, that when you say this, how you understand. So if you don't have that deep insight in knowledge, you might be misguided. Like someone will tell you anything that you cannot see, we have just 5 senses. Anything that exists, you can know its existence by these five things. You either see it, you either feel it, you either, or something like that, as we must have heard one or two times someone saying this. So this is how this particular Sheikh Abdul Rahman has mastered all this, and also in Mutasawwuf. So from then he continued teaching students. He continued teaching students different aspects of studies, and also he published many books in different aspects of knowledge, including fiqh, including nahw, including mantiq and balaga. In fiqh, his prominent and unique and most known book is this Aqdari. In mantiq, we have a book which is called Sulamul Munawwar, is also very known. And in balaga, there is one of his book that is called Jawharul Maknun, among others. This great scholar has great concern on novice, as in people that are beginners willing to start knowledge. After understanding all those parts of knowledge, he try all he could to simplify difficult parts of knowledge. So most of his books and publication focus on beginners who are willing to start in any aspect of knowledge. Like this Akhdari, by many scholars it has been recommended as a book of stats. Once you want to start ilm al-fiqh, they will recommend Al-Akhdari for you, because in any knowledge that you want to master or you want to at least understand, so you have to hold upon a particular book, know it very well, and carry on. From there you continue building little by little. Usually in knowledge, there is what ulama or scholars call qa'idatut tadarruj. Just means following knowledge bit by bit, step by step, from less complex or from simple to less complex to complex, like that till you master it and you become master in it, or even acquire what is it called, your PhD, and become a professor. That was what the modern education, the Western education pattern, they take. You have to follow from nursery to primary, from primary to second JSS to SS, then to maybe other higher institution like HND, diploma or other things, then get to university, things like that. So they follow ulama in Islam. We have that kind of, and usually if you go to most of these town states that are well known with ilm, like talk of Kano, talk of Zaria, talk of Katsina, among others, talk of Maiduguri. Usually in all the Zauri, I don't know what to call it, they will call it Zauran Fiqh. So all these places where they take knowledge, so you have to follow it. You cannot start a particular book if you have not done the smaller one. So usually the Akhdari is usually considered as a book of beginners in fiqh. And also this great scholar passed away on 983 after Hijra in the Zawiya of his grand father, where he teaches students. Then before his death, he instructed students and encouraged them to be hardworking and continue in search of knowledge, all aspects of knowledge, and instructed that when he died, should be taken back to his father's Zawiya and be buried together with his father. So I really appreciate the effort of our leaders talking about our Muqaddam, As-Sayyidi, our Muqaddam, and also our Shura chairman and other leaders who has recommend this great book for a start. There's a particular scholar that is talking about knowledge and revealing the reason of mass ignorance among Muslim now. He was saying in a poem that علامه الجهل بهذا الجيل ترك الرساله الى الخليل وترك الاقدري لابن عشري وترك زين للرساله اقدري. He is saying the reason why, in his own understanding, the reason why there is widespread of ignorance among people is that علامه الجهل بهذا الجيل, the reason for mass ignorance among people is ترك الرساله للخليل. خلق الرسالة إلى الخليل, neglect of كتاب الرسالة, كتاب الرسالة, we all know رسالة, إلى الخليل, to خليل, instead of you to start with خليل before, to start with رسالة before you take the book of Imam al-Khalil, that is Bouternasr, you said no, رسالة is too small for me, let me take the bigger one, which is Bouternasr. وترك الأخضري لابن عشري, and neglect of this Kitab al-Akhdari to take Ibn Ashir, saying I heard that Ibn Ashir is bigger, it explains more than, it has more content than Akhdari, so let me take it. And وترك الزين لل وترك الزين للرسالة الأخضري, and neglect of إزية to رسالة. So all those things, because we are not following the qaida tadarruj, the law of tadarruj, following knowledge bit by bit, everybody is eager, like we usually in ta'alim, there is one bit he's saying لكل إله شاوي أولى حركات ولكن عزيز في الرجال ثبات. In searching for anything that has honor on it, everybody is rushing. Who wants to be the president? Who wants to graduate? Who wants to acquire so or particular knowledge? Who wants to acquire particular power? Who wants to? But ولكن عزيز في الرجال ثبات, which is taxing among men, is patience and focus on that particular thing. Someone, once he starts and you see that it's not well or it's not easy going, then he stop. So but with patience and taking studies bit by bit, you see someone with 10 books but there is no one single book that he has read from the beginning to the end. So we ask Allah to help us to see from the beginning of this book to the end and to benefit from what we will hear from it. Now, quickly, I would like to talk on fiqh. What is fiqh? Fiqh, as we know, is an Arabic word. It has a literal meaning and a conventional meaning. So literally it is an Arabic word which means understanding. Al-fiqhu faham, al-fiqhu huwa al-faham, fiqh means understanding. Some argue that is mutlaq al-faham, while some argue that is فهم الأشياء الدقيقة, as in meaning that some argue that is general understanding anything, that is فقه. فقه شخص كذا, فقه شخص كذا, so person understands so thing, or while some argue that no, it's not just understanding anything or general understanding, is fahamu ashiya'i daqiqati, knowing deep meaning of something, knowing deep meaning of something, and that particular thing for you to know it will be something difficult, not just something very simple or something that is general. Then you say, I've understand. Like they used to give example, if someone says, yes, I have understood that the sky is above, that one is, you understand, that one is general, doesn't need any critical thinking for you to understand. If you did not even understand, then there is question mark. Yeah, we might call the psychologist psychiatrist. So they say, no, that particular thing for you to say, yes, you understand it, you understood it, it must be something that needs deep thinking. And so that is, by the way, just as simple as that, literally. Why conventional? الفقه اصطلاحا هو العلم بالأحكام الشرعية على عملية المستكسب من أدلتها التفصيلية. Conventional, it means it's a field of study of jurisprudence, study of jurisprudence of the Sharia, study of obligations, its extents and its limitation. Knowing the philosophy of law, that which Allah made mandatory to all human, that is what fiqh mean in istilah conventional. The importance of this particular knowledge or aspects or field of knowledge can never be overemphasized, as even in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّةً فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِئَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٍ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ. That is the reference. لِيَتَفَقَّهُوا فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيَنْزُرُوا قَوْمَهُمُ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. It is not for believing Muslim to all leave for war. If you are going for war, it is not upon you to leave. All of you must leave. No. وَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْكَةٍ مِنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ فِي الدِّينِ. When they are going, there should be some people that will stay at home, should not go with them during the war. لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, so that they will have the knowledge of fiqh, of this deen. So as we've translated fiqh as understanding, they should have deep understanding of the deen. لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَلْيُنْدِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِ, and teach their people when they come back to them from the war. So, and also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated in an authentic hadith that when you read Allahu bihi khayran yufaqihu fi din, whoever Allah's wishes good gives him deep understanding of the deen. Faqihu fi din. And also he has prayed for some of his sahaba, Allahumma faqihu fi din, like Abdullah ibn Abbas, Allahumma faqihu fi din, oh Allah, give him deep understanding of this deen. So importance of this aspect of knowledge, fiqh, the importance of fiqh can never be overemphasized, as it is seen by some scholars as the superior knowledge ever think of. One of the scholar in his poem, he said, إِذَا مَعْتَزَزُ الْإِلْمَ بِالْإِلْمِ فَإِلْمُ الْفِقِهِ أَوْلَى بِالْتَعَزَّزِ فَكَمْ إِبْنْ يَفُوهُ وَلَاكَ مِسْكِنْ وَكَمْ إِيْرٍ يَدُوهُ وَلَاكَ بَازِنْ. If you are to rank any knowledge over another, therefore, إِلْمُ الْفِقِهِ is far ahead to be ranked over all other knowledge, because all perfumes smell, but not like the perfume of miski. I don't know the English name,
and all birds fly, but not like bats. There is one, the fastest bird is called bats. I don't know the English name. I don't know whether it's eagle, but bats is not eagle. So although most of the scholar discourage you as prioritizing a particular knowledge to particular knowledge, it depends on the need and availability of that knowledge in among people. If there are 10 people that knows the Ulum al-Quran, they know how to, the knowledge of the Quran, how to recite it and other things, and there is no single person that knows hadith, so in that particular area or place, ilm al-hadith is far most important. You understand? Because they need it, because this one, they have like five or more than, and from that five people, more than 100 people can acquire that knowledge from them, while no single person can teach ilm al-hadith. So like that. And also, even some scholars says, even if it is other things, whatever, all knowledge is not laysa shartu an ta'limu kulla ilmin. It is not compulsory for you to know all knowledge. إذا قام به بعض فقد من بعض. It is ilm al-kifaya, fard al-kifaya. It is compulsory upon people, in which other people can take it upon others. So if other knows, there is no need, everybody must know. What is compulsory upon you that don't know it is فَسْأَلُوا عَلَى الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. You should ask those that know if you don't know. And in many other places, even in Ta'alim, if you open where he's talking about the importance of knowledge, where he said تَعَلَّمْ فَإِنَّ الْإِلْمَ زَيْنٌ لِأَهْلِهِ وَفَضْلٌ وَعُنْوَانٌ لِكُلِّ مَحَامِدٍ وَكُمْ مُسْتَفِيدًا كُلَّ يَوْمٍ زِيَادَةٍ مِنَ الْإِلْمِ وَاسْبَافِي بُخُولِ الْفَوَائِدِ. He said, تَفَقَّحْ فَإِنَّ الْفِقْحَ أَفْضَلَ قَائِدٍ إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَأَعْدَلُ قَاسِدٍ. تَفَقَّحْ فَإِنَّ الْفِقْحَ أَفْضَلُ قَائِدٍ إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَأَعْدَلُ قَاسِدٍ. Seek for the knowledge of fiqh, the an al fiqh, because of fiqh afdalu qa'idin, it is the best thing, best knowledge you can stand up upon, the best knowledge you can acquire, and it is the best knowledge that can show you way ila al birri, to obedience to Allah. Wa taqwa, it is the best knowledge that will show you how to be conscious of Allah, fear Allah, conscious of Allah. For adal qasidin, and it is the best qasid, something that you've hold great to your heart or in your heart. So this is fiqh. This is fiqh. We can try to say one or two things about the benefits of this knowledge. One, it makes you closer to Allah by serving him the way he wants and the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, because Allah has stated clearly in hadith by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is nothing Allah loves more, mimman taraftuhu alayh, than that which he need compulsory upon you. Second, it makes you acquire knowledge. It makes you to be evidence based. Why do you do sujud al-qabr ba'dihi? in your system, you have evidence, you know what is happens during the time of Prophet, and this is what he did, and this is what Imam Malik says, and you understand, you are evidence based. It makes you correct your action and deeds. It makes you know what to do. When you miss a particular raka'ah, how will you correct it? When you are giving out zakah, how do you do it? When so thing happens to you while fasting, what is the stand of your fasting? Has it been spoiled, or your fasting is still on? So you know how to correct your deen. This part of knowledge called fiqh. Someone might ask, has there been a part called fiqh during the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the sahaba, the companions? Comparatively speaking, is no, because during the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet himself is around, and he is to explain anything that is difficult to Muslim, and also the sahabat also have deep understanding, and if they don't, they go straight to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ask for explanation. But time to time during the tabi'un, it's the needs arise that some people are misunderstanding and misinterpreting some traditions. Like there are some that say wa aqimu salata wa atu zakah, like in Hausa you say as'ida sallah abada zakah, as'ida sallah abada zakah. So some misinterpreted subhanallah and zalik, a'udhu billah and zalik, they say wa aqimu salat kus'ida sallah, that you should not observe sallah, wa atu zakah kubada zakah, then give zakah. So they are not praying. All what they do is to and they will refer it back to Quran, that is where they have their reference, or some Quraniyun that they will tell you in ablution, Allah says ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha qumtum ila salati faghsilu wujuhakum wa ayyakum ila marafiqi wamsahu bi ru'usikum wa arjulakum. So when you want to perform wudu, the first thing is to wash your hand, then wash your face, then rub your head and wash legs. That's all, because that's what Allah says. So these kind of things made it compulsory for scholars to pick out those hadith that talks specifically on salah, and those that talk specifically on zakah, those that talk on song fasting, and those that talk on like that. That's why if you look at the sahihat, you see kitab al-tawhid, kitab al-wudu, kitab al-salah, kitab al-zakah, like that. So from there they pick and made it understood by people that this is what this part is talk about. This is the little we can take on the introduction. Hope we are able to say one or two things and to make it clear to us concerning the topic. Now about the book, if you are with me, you can open and start reading together. The book is starting by saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, all praises be to Allah, Lord of mankind. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Blessings and peace be upon our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khatimun Nabi'in, the seal of the prophets. Wa imamul mursaleen, and the leader of all messengers. Awwal ma yajibu ala al-mukallaf, the first obligation on a matured person. The first obligation on a matured person. The first obligation on a matured person, tashihu imanihi, is for him to correct his deen, to correct his faith, sorry, tashihu imani, to correct his faith. So there is some explanation concerning this, but as I stated earlier, that is introduction. So I would like us to stop there, think and go through the lessons. If there is any question, explanation, comment, or anything, you can forward it. And by God's grace, by tomorrow inshallah, I'll try to explain what mukallaf is. That is a matured person, although they translate it as a matured person. But when we say mukallaf, it's someone whom you've imposed to perform a certain act. So before you will be imposed by Allah or by religion, by the deen, to perform certain act, you have to, there are like three things that you have to have. First is the iman, that is, you have to be a Muslim. All the instruction Allah is giving is specific to those that are Muslim. Second is sense. You have to be sensible enough. It's not talking with senseless people. So for narcotic patient or psychiatric or mentally ill people, no matter how mature they are, Islam is not talking about them, and there is nothing imposed upon them, and Allah is not going to ask them for anything because they are not sensible enough. Then third is maturity. So maturity is not, we are not talking about, Islam is not talking about children. So tomorrow when we come, by God's grace, we'll start from this awal majib al mukallaf and explain one or two little things, and also the scale of maturity, because there is argument and differences, different scale, and also what are the signs that you will see to say yes, a particular person is mature. So this is where we stop, inshallah. أقول لك أولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم والحمد لله رب العالمين. We ask Allah to benefit us and to make it easy for us to see the end of this book together and to understand it along together. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.